I was in a coma for 6 weeks while the doctors told my wife I was going to die. When I woke up, she told me the most fantastic story. My team kept running the business without me. Freelancers reached out to my team and said, "We will do whatever it takes as long as Craig's in the hospital." I consider that the greatest accomplishment in my career. My name is Craig Andrews, and this is the Leaders and Legacies podcast, where we talk to leaders creating an impact beyond themselves. At the end of today's interview, I'll tell you how you can be the next leader featured on this show. Today, I want to welcome Mark Campbell. He is the head of the Digital MC. I think MC stands for Mark Campbell. Mark earned his chops by leading enterprise-level digital strategy for some of the world's top brands. Now he's bringing that same value to small and mid-sized businesses in every sector, from nonprofits to global investment firms, record labels to ski resorts. And looking forward to having today's conversation with Mark. Mark, welcome.
Hey, Craig. It's fun to be here. And MC is, yes, it's Mark Campbell, but it's the double entendre. Marketing is master of ceremonies, the same idea. So yes, it does. You know, you pick which one is pertinent to you.
Yeah. How'd you decide on that?
I've always been into music. I mean, I've been a musician for years, mostly drums, right? And so I've always been into beats. I've always been in the rhythm, and to some degree hip hop, I guess. And so that's been something I freestyle when no one's looking, but never on camera, right? And so there is a level of that, which I've just enjoyed off the record. But, you know, the idea with the Digital MC is, you know, my experience is both as a designer, a developer, and a business owner. So I kind of get like the full service of marketing. And at the end of the day, what I tend to be like, look, I'm not a hammer looking for a nail. I'm your master of ceremonies. We help connect the dots. And that's what I do really well. So that's a short version. But so there's the fun part, and then there's the practical part, right?
Yeah. So, I mean, do you still drum?
I was actually at a blues concert last night, and I was sitting there with my wife, and the guys up there, they said, "Look, put your name in the hat, and you want to jam with us, you can." I'm like, "Erica, can I go?" And she's like, "Yeah, you can do it." But I admit, I got cold feet. I went and talked to the drummer, and I was like, it's been 10 years since I've really jammed, and going on stage, just, I admit, I got cold feet, but I decided I'm gonna practice a bit, and they're there every week, so maybe I'll come back in a week or two.
You a big fan of the blues?
What I like about the blues and jazz specifically is that it's like controlled chaos, as people put it. I love how, and I was telling my wife, we were there, and you know, you've got the lead guitar starts a solo, right? And then everyone else is kind of keeping rhythm, and then the bass guy does his thing. And I'm like, wait for it. The drummer's going to have a solo. When he does, it's going to kill, right? Because jazz drummers, blues drummers, I mean, they can just be fantastic. And it was, and then this is what I love about it. So they each kind of take their turn while everyone else keeps time and keeps the song going. And then, they pointed at the drummer, and I'm like, and then this guy just destroys it. It was fantastic. And yeah, so that's what I love about it. Everyone kind of gets to shine, but everyone still, you know, plays together. It's like a really fun, it's like a set, but beyond a set. It's never the same twice, you know?
Yeah. So, you know who Pine Top Perkins was?
I don't know.
Well, he was Muddy Waters' keyboardist.
Okay.
And he went on to get his own Grammy, I believe, or two. And I used to hear him play here in Austin, and old as the hills. And every time I heard him play, I felt like this could be the last time. I'm sitting here listening to history right in front of me. Yeah. And sure enough, I got to hear him, I think right after he turned 96. And then like a month or two later, he died. But yeah, he would go up to the keyboard. He kind of shuffle up, kind of like you'd expect somebody 96 years old to do, and shuffle up, and you get up to the keyboard. And as soon as his fingers touched the ivory, he just came to life.
Yep. 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 Sounds about right. Yeah. I mean, you can't take it out of them. I mean, once you get it, like some of those guys are just, they're absurd how good they are. And it's so fun to listen to. But no, well, cool. That's a lot of fun.
So you were telling me something about your dad. You said your dad grew up as an orphan. What happened? What was that like?
Oh, well, so my dad is an awesome guy, and I've learned a ton from it. Everyone says, you know, like my dad's my superhero. Maybe not everyone, but in many ways it's true. I mean, my dad was an orphan. Like he was like a ward of the state in like fourth grade or something. I mean, he was Appalachia poor, right? So it's not even like inner city poor where like there's a food pantry. Like it was rice and beans, you know. To this day, you can't eat cauliflower. So anyway, it's a whole story. I won't go into it, but yeah, he was at a school, Hershey School for Boys, which if you don't know is actually amazing. You have to be like at or below poverty level and you have to have a dead parent. Like it's a very school for underprivileged. So he actually got, you know, taken from his family and put in there. And then, I mean, he, long story short, talking about leadership, he, one of his house parents was, I think he was a Marine and a boxer. And I don't know if how much of the story I should tell, but the gentleman, my dad came home after some trouble and he said, put the gloves on. And they boxed, right? Nice way, like a stern but authoritative father. And he said, look, you can take all this energy and put it into the same thing all these other guys are doing. You could do drugs and alcohol and partying. You could be frustrated. The world handed you a crappy lot. What are you going to do about it? Right? He goes, or you can take this and put it into something powerful. So in like eighth grade, my dad starts swimming and wrestling and gymnastics. He sets a like a county record on the Iron Cross. He then becomes a wrestler, becomes like a national champion in high school, becomes an Olympian alternate, you know, national champion in college, like an Olympian alternate wrestler, like trained with Dan Gable and all these guys. And so like he had a, and he, you know, put himself through college, had to take a year off to continue to make money. Just a very, you know, take what he can get and make the best of it kind of guy. And he always told me, he's like, look, Mark, I never had a dad, but you will. And he was in sales, which the way, only way you progress up sales is to leave the house. You know, you have to, you're, you know, you have a region and you're a regional manager and you just go bigger and bigger and bigger. But he never took those promotions and he was always my coach. He was always there, you know, not a perfect guy, you know, but one who was inspiring at the very least and certainly had a lot of wisdom. And we could go into that story. But yeah, so that's it's been a pretty cool bedrock to see someone with nothing create something and then to not just create, but then to make sure he's properly reinvesting into the next generation and not just taking that and running with it, you know, which was cool. And so I'm one generation away from Appalachian poor, you know, and doing pretty well, all things considered. And so it's a pretty rad story of one man makes a change and it's just the whole family changes forever.
You know, I had somebody who grew up in Russia on the podcast recently, and he talks about what a great land of opportunity America is. And you know, there's different people that feel different ways about that, but it's, you know, that is kind of the American story. You know, for you, would you say one generation away from abject poverty and, you know, really turn things around? It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really cool. Yeah, well, and it transitions into like, I mean, I've done well. I mean, we can probably get into this. I want to follow your cadence, but like, I mean, I've been involved in outreach ministries for years, right? Especially right after college, because I've seen the opportunity. I've seen what can happen, right? So it's always been in my heart to like inspire people. Like, look, I know it's tough, but like there is some option, right? Even if it's not perfection tomorrow, like there's a step in that direction. Like, what can we do to help? You know, start to move the needle, right? You don't have to be there tomorrow, but there's something we can do. And so that's always been a part of my heart, kind of those birthed from that. But
Yeah. Well, that's cool. And what would you say would be probably the biggest lesson you took away from your dad? What's one lesson your dad gave you that you want to hand off to your kids?
okay, so if we're talking, I'll give you one. He wasn't a man of one-liners. He was a man who just kind of did what he did, and it was a pretty good example. But there was one like one-liner that he said that really stuck with me. And he goes, "Look, this world can take everything from you, but your integrity and your honesty, no one can take that. That's yours to give away. And so be very careful." And like that was like super powerful to me because he can take my money, he can take my house, my kids, my wife, like all of it. But at the end of the day, people know Mark Campbell's a stand-up guy. It's because that's the way I live my life. And if they don't, it's my fault. Like, short of a smear campaign, I guess. Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, like that was very, very impactful. And they were also said, never toot your own horn, let someone else toot it for you. Those are the two. So I
Yeah.
gave you a bonus point for bonus point.
Yeah, I have a mentor that says everybody needs a vamp. The job of the vamp is to talk about how wonderful you are, that you can never say those things yourself, but you need somebody else to do that on your behalf. And yeah, and it ties into that same thing. I see people, I think of one in particular on LinkedIn. Every single post they put out there is about how wonderful they are. And you kind of look at them and you're like, have you never had a struggle in business? Have you never, there's a couple things with that. One is, you perceive, you even if you can't articulate, you recognize there's a lack of authenticity there because it's too perfect.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And people see through it. And it's been a hesitation of my own, frankly, to produce a lot of content is because, and that's where you get on the flip side of it, where you don't want to hamstring yourself, but it does feel weird telling people, like, because I've never been a sales guy, right? That's not been my MO. I've been a PM a lot of years and a technical architect. And so convincing people that I can help them has never been my MO. It's always been like, helping them solve a problem that they've already bought into. And so, to your point, getting on LinkedIn and telling people or whatever it is on email blast, it's different for me. But anyway.
So you have kids?
Five of them. Yep.
Five.
Yeah.
Five. Holy cow. How old are they?
11, 9, 7, 4, and 1. Yep. It's fantastic. It's like the best. It is the best. It's the best thing ever. Having kids is the coolest.
And you, I guess you got your business started and then had the kids.
No. See, and that's where if I had to go back to talk to old Mark, I would say, look, take risks earlier when there's less riding on you being successful. Because no, I started my own official business. Now I've been part of startups, right? I may have started a software company when I was like 24. I started the Digital MC around that time, but it was kind of like a side project where I just done stuff on my own. But launching the Digital MC is about 3.5 years ago, officially on its own. So I already had four of my five kids. And my wife, she's fantastic. But yeah, she's a stay-at-home mom and homeschool mom, and she's fantastic. But that doesn't produce income. Now she is a doula on the side, so she does some side work. But so when I launched in this business, I told the whole family. I said, look, guys, this is not me starting a business. This is us starting a business. Because Erica, you're gonna have to pull a little extra weight. Guys, there might be nights where you don't see your daddy as much, and there's nights where you will. Like, I'm not a workaholic, but at the same time, work needs to be done. So I got buy-in from the whole family before we did anything. And the kids were pumped. And to this day, they wear my logoed hats around. I bought them suits with my logos they like to wear. I mean, they just think the business is so cool. He'll go on my website and fill out the contact form just to send me an email like during the day. So it's cool how they've kind of bought into it too. But yeah, it was a lot of risk. It was really scary. Starting from square one when you have essentially six, 4 to 6 mouths to feed, depending on the timeline.
Yeah. What would you say? I mean, other than starting the business sooner, what would you say your biggest lesson has been starting a business with, four kids and then eventually five?
Look, there's a degree of everything costs time, costs money, costs, it's an investment. And so properly creating a timeline that you're comfortable with, like at the end of the day, when you start a business, you have to say, I'm going to sacrifice this many years of my life to some degree, right? Look, I'm going to work 20% harder, 30% harder than I've worked in the past, but you're sacrificing yourself now for a better self in the future. And so with that, I do feel like knowing what would come, like if I could talk to my ultimate understanding the different steps, because I started a software company similar side by side with the Digital MC. So I own Synapse Digital MC together. And so understanding the life cycle of like a software business and a service business in terms of like from start to finish, like owning the company as opposed to working in the company, you just see so much more. I think I would have been more reasoned in timelines, prioritized both capital and time appropriately. And kind of set expectations with myself that are more realistic, not in terms of income, but just in terms of what it's going to take to like launch an outbound campaign. Like that's just, so there's a lot of that that I think I would have renegotiated, which is why starting earlier would have been nice because you have more runway for mistakes. And I'll say this too, live like a pauper when you're young. Save every stinking cent, right? Because when you don't have expenses, that's the time to really begin to build equity in yourself and capital. So then when you launch, you kind of have that safety net. You know, I took chances on a bunch of startups. I started, this is like my third or fourth company. So I've always been a risk taker. My brother's an accountant. He's not. You know, he's the opposite.
You mentioned you're homeschooled. What motivated you to do that?
Oh, just the opportunity that the world, but even specifically that America provides today is, I admit, it's obfuscated in so much clutter in the internet and social media and, you know, gurus and everyone trying to like sell you a lifestyle. But look, I mean, you've accessed the internet. You can contact business owners. I mean, you could be 13 and email CEOs and get on LinkedIn and say, hey, can I intern for your company at 13? Can I just sit in on meetings? Like, there's so many things you can do as a young man or woman that in my mind, I'm like, look, what if like I have a computer here and a computer here where my kids code next to me? And like that's really possible because they're homeschooled. Like we can do as much or little of that as we want. My son actually went viral on Scratch, which was kind of cool. He was like that tens of thousands of views and reshares was rad. So I think with the environment, the state of the economy being so gig-centered, digital focused, and just global and access to people, being able to leverage that, like the time and education, you know, taking a little less and just learning the industrials, you know, the industrial revolution system and more like taking math and science and education and reading and writing and all that stuff and, you know, learning that, but also spending time in this kind of digital economy, which is where I specialize, admittedly. Like it's just, so I'm biased here, but gives them an opportunity to grow in a way and see things. Like my kids are using AI to help write code, like right now. And like that's cool because I can sit with them and my
Whoa, 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 whoa. Which kids?
my
Which
11 year
ones? Huh?
11.
11-year-old. 11 years old, he's writing code.
And I told him because I'm not always available. So I'm like, look, here's an AI model. If you ask it questions, if you need to work through stuff before I can get to you. And yeah, like it's fun for him. I mean, look, kids can learn anything. We condescend our children as a culture so much. They are so smart. They have so much potential, but we put them in front of like weird YouTube channels and like, I love Bluey. Don't get me wrong. I think it's a great show. But so many of our cartoons are just so, they're so, they can learn anything. Give a kid a tablet. He'll figure out anything you want him to figure out. Why not make it something that can be lucrative? My 11-year-old right now owns about $1,200 in landscaping equipment. He owns a snowblower. He owns a pressure washer. And I'm going to sell him one of my mowers for $50. But yeah, he has like professional grade equipment. And he goes out when it snows and makes hundreds of dollars in a day. Like
You know, I live in Texas, and the usual snow, it will come in, it will snow like half an inch, maybe an inch, and by lunch it's all melted. But a few years ago we had, I think it was 4, 5, 6 inches of snow. It'd been really cold, it stuck, it didn't melt, it stuck around for a few days. And fortunately I saved a snow shovel from when I moved here. I moved a snow shovel here. Didn't use it for 15 years. I get my driveway shoveled and I see these kids walking around. And I remember thinking, you know, in the right hands, this is a $1,000 shovel. And then I realized in my neighborhood, right hands aren't here. Yeah. The right hands are like, Ma, give me some money. So I love the fact that you got your kids working as entrepreneurs from a very young age.
I mean, it can be a game. Like, it doesn't have to be arduous. You're not stealing their childhood. Like, they like it. You know how fun it is for a kid to go out and learn about profit and loss and, you know, revenue and how much he has to pay his brother and sister. So I'll tell you a quick story. Snowblower, the reason we bought it is because he has to pay his brother and sister to help him out. And I always take like $5 or $10 just so, you know, but I do a lot, you know. And so he's like, man, I said, you can reduce expenses by investing in a snowblower and this can do the job. I'm the problem. This can do the job of your brother and sister, you know, and you have to make one expense, but you can save on the back end. And he was pumped about it. And so he went and spent hundreds of dollars and bought a snowblower with his own money. And I helped him like a little bit, like but I mean, he spent hundreds of dollars on a snowblower so he could do
That
this.
that really encourages me, because that was the thing that was so sad. I mean, and the reason my shovel would have been a $1,000 shovel in the right hands is you can't buy snow shovels in Texas. They don't exist down here.
Got it. Yep.
And I'm looking at all these driveways that are just packed full of snow, and I'm like, an industrious kid would be able to do that. And that's one thing that worries me about, at least in where I live. A lot of the kids aren't learning work ethics. They study really hard. They're involved in a whole bunch of clubs, but they've never sweated for money. I love that you're bringing your kids up that way.
Yeah, and this is part of the benefit of homeschooling. Look, I say homeschool is either the greatest opportunity or the greatest tragedy you'll ever do to your kids. Like, you can screw up royally. It's not hard, you know? But you can also, there's incredible opportunity for growth. So, you know, you have to be strategic. You have to be smart. Like, you can't take it lightly, or else, you know, your kids will pay the price. But, you know, if you do it right, I mean, parents teaching their kids is the way the world has always worked. Like, it's not strange. It's just not normal now. But yeah, but you have to pay attention, and you got to have a network. You got to have community. Like, you got to be part of something larger than yourself and your family. Like, there's a whole, we could go into homeschooling pros and cons. That's a whole different conversation. But yeah.
So your kids are logging in and sending you things, logging on your website. What is the digital MC? What does the digital MC do? Who do they serve?
So, I mean, I'm focusing on, you know, small to medium-sized businesses who are hitting a growth stage. They've done what they've done for a while. It's worked. They're building capital. They're starting to say, look, we need to hire some salespeople, but to do so, we need more leads, or we have too many leads and we gotta get the right ones. And they're kind of hitting this friction point where they're growing. They don't know how to grow in the right direction with the right products and services, and or right. They just, or maybe they need to grow. Like, they're like, well, we've kind of stagnated. We can only get so far with the way we've been doing things, and we really want to begin investing in X, Y, or Z, right? And so that's kind of where I come in. I mean, my MO is I spend anywhere from a half hour to an hour and a half on an onboarding call. And we'll go through who's your ideal customer. I've got like a 3-page questionnaire. That's fantastic. It talks about all about who your business is, who's your customer, what are your bread and butter services, what do your customers say about you, blah, 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 blah. We can go into it. It's a great doc. But exploring what the business is and what moving the needle would look like. And then from there, you know, curate a strategy that is apropos. So, you know, I'm not selling websites or SEO or email marketing or anything like that, right? I'm kind of really selling the strategy. And it's like, look, these deliverables, you know, the strategy is kind of free. Like, I go on and I wrap with the business. And then we find a place that can move the needle. We say either yay or nay. Right. And so that's kind of where I focus. Again, I've got a toolbox. Again, I have a design background, right? So I'm pinkies up pretentious designer, right? Everything has to look good. I'm a software developer. I've built two software companies. I'm full stack engineer, and I've started three different businesses. So I understand like the full life cycle of a business. And so I can talk like a nerd, right? While things are still, you know, kept on point and on cadence while looking good. And so I've seen kind of every aspect to really digital campaigns and branding and whatnot. And so I have a really acute eye when it comes to finding the solution. I'm not approaching it like a developer or a designer or a business owner, right? I kind of see it for what it is, and then we begin to frame the solution around it.
Yeah. And you're leading the team in that. What would you say has been your biggest lesson since leading, starting Digital MC and running a team?
SOPs. Like, making sure every standard operating procedure, making sure your team has clear expectations on what needs to be done and when, and it just makes everyone's life easier. Less revisions, you know, timelines, you know, daily check-ins, things like that. Makes the whole thing go around. And look, I'm not a big one to say like, oh, you know, I need a coffee in the break room, right? But look, I mean, you have to be a people first business. I believe that. I mean, I'm a Christian, and like, I believe, you know, God's people are his primary resource that he cares the most about. So I mean, I want to make sure that if someone's part of my team, that they at least feel appreciated and wanted. And look, I'm going to drive, right? I mean, we have deadlines. I mean, clients are paying us. We need to fulfill obligations. Like, it's not a walk in the park, but it should be fun. And if it's not fun, we should at least enjoy what we're doing, or at least feel like we're contributing, right? So there has to be I think, a level of being part of a team that you want to be part of. Because, like, you know, I coach hockey too. This is hard work. I tell the kids athletic stance, and they want to just kind of float around and they're skating. I'm like, no, this should be hard. This is also strength training. You know, you got to have the muscles if you want to sprint, and it's repetition. And so that's not always easy. But when you come out and you can hit a 90 mile an hour slap shot, right? Or you can transition backwards as fast as you can skate forward, you're like, oh, this is why I put in the work. I enjoy being part of this team, even though it's, you know, it's work sometimes. And then there's that we just take the day off. Let's just scrimmage for an hour. You know, you don't want to work on Friday, fine, go do whatever you want. I don't care. Did we do our job this week? Great. Like, roll on, have fun. So I do think there's kind of that mix. And that's what my dad instilled in me, because he was always a family first person and really cared about us, but was also like, he was a driver. There's no doubt about it. You don't go from nothing to something in his capacity without. So there was always this marrying of like, I care about you, but by caring about you, I expect things from you. And there was really a good balance, I think.
Yeah. Wow. Well, very cool. Well, I love that, and I appreciate you taking the time to talk about your kids and how they integrate into your business and teaching them the work ethic, teaching them how to run businesses. I think in that we learn a lot more about you than learning about how you run businesses, because that's, if you think about it, who more important to lead than your own family?
Yep. One day they'll be doing, one day if you partner with the digital MC, little Joel, who will hopefully be a little older, Joel, will probably be doing your website or running some campaign. You know, it's a few years down the line, but hopefully it's coming. You know?
Oh, that's awesome. Well, Mark, if people were to reach you, how would they reach you?
Mark@thedigitalmc.com is perfect. But you can go to my website, thedigitalmc.com. You know, you find my contact there. But yep, that's best.
Well, excellent. Well, thanks for coming on Leaders and Legacies.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Craig.
This is Craig Andrews. I want to thank you for listening to the Leaders and Legacies podcast. We're looking for leaders to share how they're making impact beyond themselves. If that's you, please go to alliesforme.com/guest and sign up there. If you got something out of this interview, we would love you to share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you know someone who would be a great guest, tag them on social media and let them know about the show, including the hashtag Leaders and Legacies. I love seeing your posts and suggestions. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss anything, please go ahead and subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show. And it means a lot to me. It means a lot to my team. If you want to know more, please go to alliesforme.com or follow me on LinkedIn. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.